Today I will be reading Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. That's Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on the wise when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public a public example of, minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to, saying, wait, take unto the Mary thy wife, for that is which conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Good morning. Members, take this moment and look to your left and look to your right. Take note of who you don't see. I see some unusual patches of green upholstery. So let's give them a call. Let's commit to doing that tomorrow. Amen. Let's commit to doing that tomorrow. Amen. There we go. That's much better. Let's call them and let them know that we miss them when we gather before God to worship. We know that we have many who are traveling this week, and we certainly want to keep them in our prayers, but we still want to make sure that they understand that we miss them when we gather before God to worship. You know, I remember when my daughter was born. What a beautiful thing that was. What a beautiful time that was. The start of a new life, a fresh life, one that was had so many possibilities in front of it. But I assert to you today that when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born, not only was that a beautiful thing in that He, God, came to live in human form, but it was a bountiful thing for you and me, because He brought with Him salvation. What a great thing it is to know that our God loves us so much that He sent His Son to live in human form on this earth, that we indeed might be able to take advantage of the offering that He's placed before us, this gift of salvation. Because in His birth was great bounty. A bounty that was prophesied generations and generations before. One that came in the exact sequence in which it had been prophesied, and then one that provided a result. A result of an open door for you and I to have that opportunity for salvation, if we would but just heed His call. This morning, as we look at these things, I invite you to join me to look at these verses as we think about the prophecy involved in this gift that God sent in His Son. In Jeremiah chapter 23, there at verse 5, we read, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he will be called the Lord of our righteousness." The righteous king, we're told by prophecy, will come from David's lineage. He would execute judgment, like the forgiveness of sin. He would execute justice, like cleansing the temple. And he would be called the Lord, our righteousness. Now, when we get to the book of Numbers, we see that the prophecy says, "I see him, but he's afar off," there in chapter 24 and verse 17. "But there will be a star that will come out of Jacob," we read, "and a scepter will rise out of Israel, and it will smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth." From the time of the release from Egypt, the Israelites understood that There would become one in the future, a king, and his name would be Jesus. And still to come, as we read in that prophecy, will be the destruction of all of those who are ungodly. Well, where would he come from? Micah answers that question. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth unto me that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Therefore he will give them up until the time that she which travails has brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He would be born in Bethlehem. This he, by the way, has always been from everlasting. He's always been and will always be. John chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We go further down in that chapter and we see that this Word was indeed Jesus Christ. He was from old and is forever. Zechariah prophesies that we need to rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king comes to you. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey and upon the colt or the foal of a donkey. He is justice. He is king. He would ride a donkey. And we see as we look at John chapter 12 that in fact that did take place. There in verse 12 we read, on the next day much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, watch what they did. They took palm branches and went forth to meet him, and they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king comes, sitting on a donkey's colt. The prophecy coming true. Isaiah has quite a bit to say about Jesus as well. Isaiah the prophet tells us, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Watch this. He says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which Dion read moments ago, interpreted as God with us. And Isaiah continues in chapter 9 and verse 6 to tell us, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We read that a virgin would conceive miraculously. Is that not what we read in Matthew 1 verse 18? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. That of the Holy Ghost. And all these things were done. All of these things were done, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did what the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus. How blessed is that name. Amen. Jesus, Wonderful Counselor. How blessed is that name that was prophesied. Isaiah continues in chapter 55, behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. A leader. He was the one that was welcomed and called king and thanked by all those who were coming, waving the palm branches in humility to him. He indeed a leader? Well, Matthew records for us in chapter 16 that when Jesus had perceived that they were doubting, he said, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you brought no bread? Don't you understand? Do you not remember the 5,000 loaves and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000 that were fed and how many baskets you took up?" I don't know about you, but I think that one who has a following of 5,000 in one occasion and 4,000 in another, he certainly qualifies as a leader. Amen? So with these things in mind, we see the prophecy is clear and those things were coming true in the exact sequence that God would have them to be. Look with me at Luke chapter 2. "For it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all in the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made first when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all that went to be taxed, everyone to his own city." Now watch this. "And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Well, that sounds a lot like Micah chapter 2 verses 5 through 4. "Because he was of the house of the lineage of David." That sounds like Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were, the days were accomplished that she should deliver. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, and you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying," underline verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And there they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe indeed lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made it known abroad, saying which was told them concerning the child. And they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had been told." My friends, I believe in God's gift. I believe in God's gift. What about you? Amen? Jesus said, "Except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sin." We need to believe that He is, in fact, the Son of God. He loved us so much. God loved us so much, the whole world, that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There is no greater love than this, than when a man lays down his life for his friends. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you keep my commands." That means God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us when we're late and we're careless on to our way to destinations. He loves us when we're ungrateful for all of the blessings that we have, including His wonderful gift. He loves us even when we are unlovable. His desire is for our best. His desire is that we should come out of sin. And that is why these things were prophesied. That is why the sequence was done in all the right order. That is why we have this wonderful result, this gift. And His name is Jesus. and he comes bringing salvation. Jesus answered and said to her, this woman at the well, by the way, in John chapter 4, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. God's gift, his precious gift, is before you this morning. Now, some minds are on other things and they just can't see. Minds are wandering, the sun is shining, the day is beautiful. What are we going to have for lunch? Where are we going next? What time do we have to be back? Is there anything going on this afternoon? May I take a nap today? All of those things crossing through our minds. Just like the woman at the well who was looking at the water, who didn't understand the spiritual implications of what Jesus was saying about this precious gift that he was offering to her. Oh, that for this short time we have together to worship before him, may we focus on him. What are you thinking about now? Have you asked yourself the question, where do I stand with my God? Am I truly humble to him? Have I accepted his gift and taken advantage of that, that I too might have salvation? We look at Acts chapter 11, and there we read, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what could I do to withstand God? Are you looking at his gift? Are you thinking about what he has done for us? This free gift, I'm afraid so many times, is taken for granted. Are we thinking about him? Some will say today, I'm a pretty good person. What do I need all of that extra stuff for? What do I need salvation for? My life is not in danger. We're not talking about the number of days that you have. We're talking about eternity and the direction of your soul. But wait a minute. There's no need to change because I'm pretty good. There's no need for me to do anything different. But the times of this ignorance God winked at, and now he commands all men everywhere to do what? To repent. And that means to make a change, a real change. Has Jesus made a change in your life? Did he make a change in your life? Paul wrote to the Romans, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that hath not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigns, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by one offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteousness. What a wonderful gift we have before us. His name is Jesus. As we come to him, we need to unwrap this gift through obedience. But I wonder, for those who may have unwrapped the gift even this day, have we taken that for granted and put it on a shelf somewhere? Or have we been willing to keep those things and hold them close and dear to our hearts? Jesus said, if we will confess Him before others, He will confess us before the Father. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. And He tells us that we can have access to this amazing gift of salvation by coming in contact with His blood. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What a precious gift that is. And over the years, as a parent, I know many of you feel the same way that I do. There are gifts that are given to us by our children that we hold dear to our hearts. You know, I got a birthday card for my granddaughter, and it was all in a bunch of colors, you know, with her little 2.5-year-old scribble all over it, and I love it dearly. The gift is precious to me, but even more so is the gift that God gave in the death of His Son. Have you done those things that He has asked you to do to take advantage of that gift? And if you have, have you put those things away in a drawer somewhere and forgotten them? Is it time to pull them back close to your heart? John writes these words in 1 John chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And we can know that we know Him if we keep His commands. My friend, this day I ask the question, have you taken advantage of His gift? Have you humbled yourself to Him this day and made Him precious in your life? You're precious to Him. Would you come to Him now as together we stand and sing?